information. I'll be amazed how many times somebody will ask me about a moonbound setup. He doesn't bother telling me what band he's on. Well, there are guys that will moonbounce on 6 meters, 2 meters, 220, 432, 1296, 2 gigs, 3 gigs, 5 gigs, 10 gigs, and 21 gigs. So we've got now something like 7 or 8 bands in which moonbounce is taking place right now. And if a person is asking you a question about his moonbounce setup, his antenna, his low noise amplifier, and his transmitter, and he doesn't even bother telling you which one of those 7 or 8 bands he's on, that's just the beginning of what's going on. He doesn't tell you what kind of feed line he's using, doesn't tell you what kind of a transmitter he's using, but tells you it's not working right and can you help him. I get a few of those. So a person who doesn't have a fair amount of experience about writing to somebody who is very different, who is not inside their head, you've got to give the person you're writing to, you've got to give them a tremendous amount of information to get him on the same page of the problem, so to speak. So I know what you're running into, Mel. I'm smiling because I sort of predicted this would happen. It's a humbling experience, and as such, we are not promising you're going to get answers. We'll try. If you sign into the TechNet and verbally we send this information back and forth and we find out what band you're talking about, what length of cable, what kind of an antenna, what kind of transmitter, and so on. When we finally ask each other back and forth enough questions and we get the picture, we stand a chance. But a high percentage of the time, a person will write a letter with only partial information. Reminds me a little bit about what happens when you read any of the modern-day technical journals. You pick up an issue of Microwave Theory and Technique, that particular division of the IEEE, Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers. Some of those articles have a title which consists of 30 words. The title of the article is a paragraph, and the title is filled up with all kinds of acronyms and abbreviations that you have to dig into the article. 2 pages downrange, he tells you what that abbreviation stands for. That guy works in that field day in and day out. He and all of his cronies use those exact abbreviations when they're talking to each other over the lunch table. They make the bad assumption that the whole rest of the world is in that exact narrow field using those exact abbreviations and acronyms. Craziness. So sometimes you can't even read the title because it's so darn filled up with so many esoteric words and crazy abbreviations and acronyms. So there was a very intelligent man from the Microwave Associates Corporation 20 years ago in which he was asked to do an assessment of the articles that were in the Microwave Theory and Techniques. He came to the conclusion that the majority of the articles were written for self-aggrandizement. They were not written for the purpose of giving useful engineering information to the general public. It was a guy tooting his own horn because he's working for an organization like a college, and many colleges have the philosophy, publish or perish, that if you're a top-paid professor at a college, and you're doing research and being paid for that research, if you're not publishing 3 articles per year, the people running the college assume you're useless and they should go out and get another professor. So therefore they come to the slang publish or perish. And many of those articles fulfill the requirement. The guy is publishing. And the guy running the college doesn't worry about whether or not anybody understands the article. That's how that happens. Back to you, Mel, and hang in there. Don't let these guys grind you down. KQKEY, KQRIW in the TechNet.
Oh, yeah, you warned me, Dick. Oh, I can't complain. This is KQKEY. 72 emails and all kinds of things. In fact, here's one addressed to you. In fact, it's apropos. I think we almost discussed this tonight. I cannot have an exposed antenna, so I put it up against the pole. I guess he means the top ridge pole, the attic. If I go ahead and move the same wire, but paste it to the, I guess it looks like you're pasting, or paste it to the top of the roof flat, what will be my improvement on my antenna, moving it to this location? Please ask Dick. you take it, Dick, over.
Okay. You can stuff your antenna, zigzag it, stuff it into your basement of your house. You can stuff it into the first floor. You can stuff it into the attic, where you can start putting more and more of it outside. As we all discover, is that the Wheeler, Wheeler-Johnson equation. Mr. Harold Wheeler of Wheeler Laboratories, now a silent key, and Mr. R.C. Johnson, the publisher of this very modern book called The Antenna Engineering Handbook, third edition by R.C. Johnson. These two guys got together and came up with an equation. And the equation basically says the bandwidth of the antenna is going to be proportional to the volume of the antenna. You can take your antenna, which is an 80-meter dipole, which should have been 130 feet long, and strung up in the air between two trees. And you can fold it up all kinds of ways and stuff it into the basement of your house. And if you're real crafty, you zigzag it, and you put loading coils and top hat capacitors and whatever, and you make it resonate. And let's say, for instance, you tune it at 3.8 megacycles. But because you stuffed it into a small volume, and since bandwidth is proportional to volume, you're going to have a narrow bandwidth antenna. You tune it to 3.8 megs, and it's probably going to hit 3 to 1 VSWR when you go down to 3.75 or up to 3.85. That's what happens when you squeeze an antenna down. You can make it work, but you're going to have to retune it or really get a very healthy antenna tuner whenever you go off center frequency. So any attempt to take your antenna out of the basement, out of the first floor, out of the attic, move it so that it occupies more airspace, start stretching it out, and start putting it up higher. As you stretch it out, which means you're giving it more volume to work with, the bandwidth will increase. Instead of being able to operate 100 kc around 3.8, you'll eventually be able to operate 300 kc around 3.8. Second of all, as you make it higher, you lower the elevation angle of radiation. In other words, an antenna close to the ground becomes a nevus antenna, near vertical incident radiator. You can build your dipole and you can lay it flat on the ground, but everybody you talk to is going to be 20 dB weaker because you're loading the ground, and because the real antenna above the ground and the reflection of that antenna below the ground are so close together and out of phase with each other, your signal is going straight up in the air and very little of it is going out to the horizon. And the guys you talk to are going to be close to you. They're going to listen to the ionospheric bounce straight up and straight back down if they happen to be close enough to you, and if the maximum usable frequency is low enough so you can take that direct bounce off the ionosphere. So the general rule of thumb is that if your landlord is restricting you and you can't put the antenna where you want and you got to make it invisible, you're on the air, but you're accepting some compromises. Narrow bandwidth, little bit less DX, high angle of radiation, weaker signals to the guys you're talking to. You'll be running full power and he thinks you're running QRP. Whatever you do to the antenna to spread it out, whatever you do to the antenna to raise it in altitude, it always gets better and better with rare exception. The more you spread it out, you get more bandwidth. The more you raise it in altitude, the more you get greater DX, less terrain effects, less nearby house loading effects and ground loading effects and so on. So you don't have to describe to Mel and I your exact location. Take a good hard look at your environment, and even if you have to make it out of 30-gauge wire to make it invisible so the landlord is... his eyes don't see it unless he wears just the right set of glasses and the sun is shining it off it at the right angle. Even if you have to make the antenna invisible, K2 considered doing that and mounting it on the roof of the building, above the roof, in the trees. Every bit of altitude helps. Every bit of length and volume helps. And so even if you don't have those resources in the beginning, it doesn't mean you can't be a happy ham radio operator. But you will get happier as you grind in more and more of these benefits of more volume and more altitude. It almost always gets better. And so it's encouraging to start operating under compromised conditions, start making these improvements, start hearing better signal reports, start working more DX, and it puts a bigger smile on your face, and you start appreciating it. A guy who is given, free of charge, a Cadillac rig with great big rotatable Yagi antennas on top of a mountain, a guy who is given that would probably never appreciate it. But each one of us slowly strives in that direction. And as we make each step forward and the system gets better, we get a bigger smile on our face and we appreciate it. That's a combination of human nature as well as physics of radiating a signal into space. K2KEY, K2IW in the tech net. K1FC. Stand by a minute, Mel. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I checked the webpage. You have to go all the way down to the bottom, and it's a fairly recent version. The map is good. I think what happened is there's a file handling problem that I've got it fixed in post. But I think you'll find it an interesting 73 K1FC clear.
Very good, Fred. Thanks an awful lot for checking in, and come back more often. You got it, Mel.
Thanks, Fred. Yeah. This is K2KEY. You know, so somebody's now, you see this email. What he's proposing, oh my God, till I finally turn, now I see what he's talking about. Yeah, we're on the right track. He wants to move the antenna 8 inches. I thought it was 8 feet, he said, no, it's 8 inches. In other words, it's tacked up in the attic right now along the top of the post, the pole. I guess he means the ridge pole that goes along. And he wants to just know if he takes it and he just moves it the 8 inches, in other words, from inside the attic along the ridgepole to up on top of the roof on the upper edge of the roof right above the ridgepole, what will be the improvement in moving it approximately 8 inches. I think that's what I'm getting it in two, three different, I see it was conveyed to me, it's most likely the same person. But it was in three different emails, Dick, over.
Yeah, what's your guess as to what band he's on? 8 inches would make a measurable difference if he's on 432. If he's on 80 meters and moving it 8 inches, even with laboratory equipment, he may not be able to measure the change in performance. What band do you think he's on, Mel?
Most likely HF. Because he says he just about gets it into just about the length of the attic, how long the attic is. I don't know. I would assume, so it must be if he's using the length of the attic, it most likely is somewhere in the HF band, Dick, over.
You know, I think I heard you say that you got 70 emails in the last week. I used to think I got a lot of email when I got 10 or 15 snail mails back in 1970. When I got 10 or 15 snail mails in 1 week, I thought I was getting a lot. You got 70? My goodness, you are a popular fellow.
Oh, okay, we're in the net mode now. No, not 70, 72. You can't cheat me here. 72, Dick. So, and I'm telling you, they range from, some of them are comical. I won't even repeat them on the air because they're amateur radio, but some people have some very, exotic view of amateur radio, the ham radio operators that have exotic view of the hobby. So I don't even want to really repeat any of those, but some of the antenna problems and the rig problems here, they are considerable. You should read some of these, again, back to the lightning situation there and what they want to do about lightning and ideas they have to protect themselves against lightning. It's just unreal what they proposed. So I would say, again, that I had a lot. I bet you there was about 15 or 18 on lightning alone. I would say to everybody again with lightning. Don't take no shortcuts, because you're going to be fooled by Mother Nature, period. And, I guess that's it, Dick. So, you want to wrap it up? I haven't got anything more on this end here. K2RIW in the TechNet, K2KEY.
You cracked me up. Let me wait for the beep. You cracked me up. 72, that's 70. Wow. My goodness, you're a popular fellow. Whoa. What a devil for punishment. What a humbling experience you're having, Mel. Once again, Mel and I are making no promises. We can't answer all the mail we get. On the air, when I get excited, or on the telephone, I can talk 150 words a minute. And by talking back and forth and asking questions, I can find out what the guy's really got on in mind. What band is he on? What kind of an antenna is he talking about? What kind of modulation? What kind of feed line? And so on. Whereas by writing, I'm a fine and pet typer. I haven't timed myself, but I'm probably 15 words a minute, 10 times slower, and I'm doing it in the dark because I don't get a chance to easily question the person. So I make no promises that they'll get a written answer from me. I think you're going to have to start making a similar promise, Mel, that we'll choose the most general questions that we get as email, and we'll discuss them on the air. The big subjects with guys are antennas, lightning, radio frequency biohazard. Like, I'm going to be involved this week at a Long Island high school where we're going to be making a measurement because at this particular high school in Nassau County, a proposal has been made to add a bunch of antennas on top of the water tower. And these antennas are for fire, police, and similar emergency services, ambulance, and whatever. So putting that on top of the municipal water power tower in the town, no sweat. It just so happens the water tower is right alongside of the high school. And so many of the town's people are quite upset that their children are going to be irradiated. And so I'm going to be involved this week in making some measurements to prove how safe it is. Well, I use the word proof in quotes. To a person who's convinced that RF radiation is dangerous, you can never prove to them it is not dangerous. All you can do is make a whole lot of measurements, present a lot of evidence, show them the respected articles by the American National Stanford Institute, who's been studying the problem for 55 or 60 years, and partially allay their fears. You'll never make them feel comfortable, because they can always say, gee, cigarettes used to be safe, and asbestos used to be safe. We didn't really know. Well, in the case of RF, we've been studying it. We've been using wireless for well over 110 years. And we've been studying
repeater, timeout, repeater, timeout, cancel.
We've been studying it formally for 60 years on just that document alone. And the Radiological Protection Board of the United Kingdom has a similar study going on. And France has a study, and Germany has a study, Japan has a study, Australia has a study. And they all compare their results with each other. So there's 450 references just in our study, done by the best institutions and the best research organizations. So there's a lot of information that tells you that 99% of the time you're safe. In order for one of those students in that high school to be unsafe, I'm not exaggerating, he would have to climb the water tower, he would have to climb to the top of the water tower, he would have to kneel in front of the antenna a couple of feet away, at the same time that the fireman or the policeman at his dispatching center keyed the microphone, wrapped it with a rubber band so that the microphone and the transmitter at the 100-watt level stayed keyed for 6 solid minutes as that student kneeled in front of the antenna a couple of feet away and stood there for 6 solid minutes with his eyes open in front of that antenna. If he did all of that, he would be at the threshold of alarm of the American standard. So hundreds of feet away, hundreds of feet lower in altitude, down in the high school, by inverse square law, is, and in view of the fact that the fire and police make typically 5-second transmissions, not 6 minutes. It takes 6 minutes to heat up the plasma in a human eye to get it at the temperature where potentially you could get a cataract. It takes 6 minutes to do that. Nobody makes a 6-minute transmission, except for somebody with a 5-watt handy talkie in his hand with a rubber duck placed up against, let me drop, the rubber duck pressing up against his temple, and he does a rag chew and keys down for 5 solid minutes. Yes, that person is at the threshold of the law. And I know somebody who's done that day in and day out for a couple of years, and he did develop a cataract. So, I can understand how people are concerned. As you can tell, I'm fairly convinced their concern is very unfounded in this case, as in many other cases. So, we get a lot of response when you and I get into biohazard, antennas, lightning, towers, feed lines. Thank goodness we don't get into these great big heated battles about brand A or brand B transceiver. Is Kenwood better than ICOM? Is better than Yaesu? Of course, there's no answer to that one. Okay, you guys heard enough of this jazz for one night. On the assumption we're still healthy, Mel and I will be back next week. Try to discuss some more of these issues. Try to dispel some more of these myths and urban legends. 73, you all. Be kind to each other, and see you down the log. KQLIW, TechNet Landmark, I'm clear. Mel, any other comments from you? Go right ahead.
Hey, Roger, well, 3 dozen of the emails were on products to buy. If I want to buy this month's rig, which antenna should I buy with it? What feed line, whose feed line should I use, and vice versa? And I have this antenna now, what rig would go with it? Oh, on and on and on like this, Dick. So, you're right, I just have to say no comment. We cannot make comments on that. And the word is, you know, the reason that Jeff is, because the word radiation. Soon just stick the word radiation in, that's where the problem is. You know, here in the sun, in the summer when they say, you know, tanning, outside on the beach tanning, be careful, tanning is only 10 minutes today in the middle of July. Why don't they say radiation from the sun is 10 minutes today to cook your brown? But they use the word bump radiation and with amateur radio and communication in general. That's where the problem is, Dick, over.
You hit the nail on the head. Let me drop. Had we been smart enough in 1900, we should have called it wireless, we should have called it radio transmission, we should have called it radio emission, or just wireless. But the fact that we called it radiation, yes, dictionary-wise, it's an accurate word. The signal does get sent out in all directions. That is called radiation. But after World War II and Hiroshima and Nagasaki, when we now know a lot more about nuclear radiation, the word radiation is an emotional word. It conveys the meaning of nuclear and cancer and birth defects and all other kinds of terrible things. So it's a very unfortunate word. We got to start talking about radio transmission and radio emission. Back to you, Mel.
Exposure to the sun. We could say that, well, 10 minutes exposure to sun in mid-July is, how much of it will give you a melanoma, a skin melanoma, or something like that from the sun's radiation. You never hear the word sun's radiation mixed in with in the summertime with exposure to the sun. They just tell you tanning time, and that's it. Use R number so-and-so, or whatever it is for protection against the sun rays. They'll say the word rays, but you never hear the word radiation with the sun, but it surely is always lumped together with radio communication. The word radiation right away, like you say, after Hiroshima, Nagasaki, boy, it's sure been lumped together with nuclear energy real quick, and there's the crux of the problem. You got to explain to them it's two different things. It has nothing to do with nuclear radiation, a radio transmitter.
Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
Yeah, once they've got that attitude, almost nothing will change.